an early spring morning, late February. Not much different than today. The cool breeze circling through the starting corral. It was called a corral because it was the 2012 Cowtown Marathon. And I've got the excitement surrounding me. It's almost as like it was lifting me up off the ground and 7,000 people around me getting ready to embark on a journey that I wasn't sure I could do. My sister's behind me. I'm gonna beat you. I'm gonna beat you. And I said, look here. Shh. See my shoes? You ain't beat nobody. Because I had on the best pair of shoes ever. Y'all know I love shoes, right? Right, I love shoes. I'm too cheap to buy the good ones, but man, if I get a good pair of shoes, it's over with. So I'm like, I got the fast shoes. The fast shoes, you ain't beat me. It was like, it wasn't like a marathon for me. It was like 1,000 meter hurdles. There was a dog. And then, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to push you down. And then my sister like, come on, I'll push you down. Running. A half marathon, right? It's just a half, not a full. But for me, I'm in the starting block, right? And I'm like, man, look at these shoes. I got pretty feet. Because you know if you got good shoes, then you're fast, right? And that's what I'm telling my sister. I'm like, I don't think so. Well, it was like a rivalry we had going for months on end as she trained and I didn't. So we'll see how that story ends, right? But it wasn't to me, it was, you know, a marathon's not like a 100-meter dash or 1,000-meter hurdles, but it was like a hurdle for me because there was, first of all, 13.2 miles. Come on, somebody, that's a hurdle. There was that dog that I mentioned. I don't even know where that thing came from. It was just like, whoosh, I'm like, ah! And the ninth mile at the Cowtown Marathon, you're coming north up Main Street, over the Trinity River Bridge, all uphill for like a mile and a half. And it's like, can I quit? I don't quit. I was determined. You know, it's like that, my sister. So I watched, right? I'm running backwards. Like, I see you. You ain't passing me, right? But I honestly know she didn't pass me, but, you know, we'll get to that again in a minute. You can see, the only time I ever graced the newspaper, it was pretty cool, actually, because I'm like, you may have won, but I just gave it away. Was in Dallas Morning News the next day. It was great. It was because I had on nice shoes. But what you don't see in the picture that's coming up is the shoes. I mean, come on. I had beautiful feet and all, but they was like, they didn't care. That's not a bad picture. that day it was, I placed overall 2,666 out of 5,000. So, you know, I'm not a track star, right? I'm not a track star. I don't even like to run. 13.2 miles, 2 hours, 16 minutes and 39 seconds, 39 seconds, 215th place of my age division, which you can see the shirt's a little tighter. I was younger then, right? Definitely. Definitely. But man, that is a good picture. Wow. But again, you know, I was pretty wrapped up with the shoes, but it wasn't the shoes that got me to the finish line. I felt like a track star. You know, you don't really, they kind of blend in with their uniforms to the track, you know, and then all of a sudden you see these bright colored shoes. I was doing good. I matched my shirt. I matched my sister. Had some yellow. This morning I'm orange, but that day it was yellow. I love those shoes. How many years did it take you to get me to throw them away? About 5. I loved them. Beautiful feet. But that's not what got me to the finish, right? It wasn't style. It was determination. It was determined. I think I alluded that I was determined to beat my sister, but still determined. And so you're looking at me like, okay, Andy. By the way, those of you that are visiting, I'm Andy Giles. Nice to meet you. Forgot to do that part. I do that sometimes. But this morning, we're not going to look at what it takes to run a half marathon, because I did that for you. You don't have to worry about it, and I'll never do it again, I hope, because it hurts. But we're going. It's the exact same situation. It's overcoming hurdles, right? Getting over hurdles, determination, with a firm grasp on determination, and beautiful feet. Come on now. These are nice shoes. These are my golf shoes, by the way. And so grasp, right? Grasping for the finish. Grasp is to seize and hold firmly, right? Seize and hold firmly. That's what I had to do to get this guy right here, okay? It was the determination to beat my sister. But we're going to look at it a little bit different. Last week and the weeks previous to this week, six of them, we were looking at reach, right? The ideas that bring us from here to reach into the world to affect change in it. And so last week, Rich was talking about judgment, and he had this column over here that it hurt me, right? It was the not good column of judgment, the ones that send people to eternal torture. And I'm sitting there, I'm listening to him, I'm like, man, something's got to be done. Then he hit us with the solution. He says, for all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm like, because I was like, I'm going to preach that next week. Because I'd already picked this verse. But still, it magnified in my heart something that had already been going on, is that there's a reality that there's a judgment and there's an answer, right? It's really simple. It's that song we just sang has the gospel message in it, right? But this morning, instead of just reaching, we're going to grasp that solution. And I found it in Romans 10, verses 13 through 15. All right, look at your neighbor. We're going to do this a lot this morning. So look at your neighbor and say hi, first of all. tell him, say, you're a track star. Tell him, say, you're a track star. I don't know if they believe you. But that's okay. We'll prove you right in just a moment. Look at your neighbor. Say you got beautiful feet. This one's a little weird. Just do it. Trust me. <Thank you. laughs> All right. That was fun. I want to do that again. I won't. I promise. I just want to. But we went the first. So for everyone, I almost forgot to read the scripture. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And that's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And so Paul gives us a course to run, if you will. It's got hurdles. I wouldn't say obstacles, because obstacles are meant to stop progress. Now, hurdles by design are made to jump over. And so I don't think Paul was laying out some obstacles for us to say, oh, I can't make it there because this is in the way. I mean, it isn't the language in the Greek, isn't race language, but I'm going to make it race language this morning. It's a hurdle to be crossed, right? And so the first point today is the finish line. Did I miss the finish line? It's in your notes. It's in my notes too. But the finish line is when we go from reach to grasp. So to reach into the concept that there's an eternal judgment doesn't get us to the point to where we seize and hold firmly that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so my finish line got me this and that really cool picture in the Dallas Morning News, but this is a lot better outcome than a silly little race. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. So I'm looking at the scripture and I see the finish line is clear as day. And so I go backwards. So we're going to look at it a little bit backwards today. I think Paul was going from the finish looking to the start. So we're going to start at the start, which is in your notes, the first point, which is the first hurdle. G, go. And how will anyone go and tell without being sent? And so I've heard this, I've thought this, I've meant this, I've lived this. I'm like, I think God called me to be a missionary. I was 8 years old and he said to me, in essence, he said, your life is devoted to my kingdom. But I didn't know how to wrap that up in an 8-year old mind. So my mom's uncle was a missionary. So I'm like, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to go. Well, still here. Not sure if I will or won't. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying I'm still here. But if we look at the Great Commission, where Jesus gives us our marching orders for his kingdom progression, it says, go ye therefore into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to follow the commandments I've given, and be sure of this. Don't miss this part. This is big. I will be with you even to the end of age. And he sent his Spirit to be with us. And we'll visit that one pretty strong here in a moment. But go. I was at Southwestern Assemblies of God University, right? And it's the college I went to. And they have a chapel, and it's really cool. And there was this guy, I can't even really remember his name. And he was like a rock star in the Assemblies of God, from what I understood. I didn't know. He's preaching, and he's talking about Greek words, and I barely know English at this point. But he said, the Great Commission isn't you go. It's you're going to be going, so do these things. And so my question for you this morning is, are you going anywhere? Are you going anywhere? Anybody going out to eat lunch today? Right? Anybody going to the grocery store this week? Right? Anybody going to work tomorrow? Right? My question, are you going anywhere? People have places to go, and life doesn't happen. You're here, so you're going, right? So this first hurdle is really not terribly difficult. I remember a period of time, my car was broken. I was riding public transportation. I was on trains and buses and sometimes bicycles in between the two, and it was a real delicate balance, but I never missed a day of work. It was great. And I'm sitting on the train. I'm coming home from work. I'm just sitting there minding my own business. Got some good, really good Jesus music, right? So I'm feeling really spiritual that day. Not like the race day. The race day I had on a little Rage Against the Machine, but that's neither here nor there. And I look over and I notice this guy. He's sitting there, and I'm just, you know, minding my own business, just trying to get to where I'm going home, right? Just coming from work. And I keep noticing, and I'm noticing that I'm not the only one noticing. People are watching him, and he's got really like long, kind of gross looking hair, and he's kind of rocking and sobbing, and he puts his head in his hands, and his fingernails are unsightly. Like this guy wasn't pleasant, and everyone on that train had noticed that he was in distress. And that great Holy Spirit of God told me, I want you to go tell him that I love him and pray for him. And I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, if, you know, he doesn't get off at this stop, I'll do it. And I wasn't agreeing to what he asked me to do. I was buying time because I didn't want to do it. Right? I didn't want to do it. But I was going somewhere, and he was there, right? The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. And Jesus said, go. As you're going doing your stuff, tell people about me. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. And I won't tell you how many stops that were, if he doesn't get off this stop, then I'll do it. But finally, it ended up with from Carrollton to Victory Plaza, downtown Dallas. And I says, if he gets off here, God, I'll do it. And I'm thinking, please don't get off. Please don't get off. And it was hard. It was scary. But really, it wasn't hard. And it wasn't scary. I was just being a knucklehead. And so I'm getting off, and I'm like, it's over with. And I get off, and I turn around. There he is. He's got tears coming down his face. Not sightly. Not looking his best. Definitely didn't have on cool shoes. Beautiful feet. And I'm just like, okay, here we go. And I told him, you know, I just been the whole train ride. I didn't tell him that I ignored the voice of the Lord for, you know, half an hour. So I just felt like maybe the Lord wanted me to let you know that Jesus loves you. And that was my message for that period of my life. You know, I just was tell people that Jesus loved them. And I pray for him, and he's crying. And I can't tell you that he accepted the gospel. And I can't tell you his name. I've forgotten it. And I can't tell you any other details. But I can tell you I was going home from work, and he was there. Go figure. Right? Go figure. So we've agreed. Are we going somewhere? Has everybody got somewhere to go? All right, see, you're at the first hurdle. That was like, for me, the first mile of my marathon. I'm like, I'm flying at this point because my sister's behind me. I'm like, you ain't beating me, right? That's probably the easiest one, right? We keep going. We're going to the second hurdle. And how can anyone hear about him unless someone tells him? So I've got an R for receive. Like they have to have a message to receive. Would you agree? Would you agree? I was going around like, oh God, I need help with illustration for this morning. I don't want to just tell my silly little stories. They're really not that good. Honestly, moments. I pull up at a corner store and I'm getting out of the car. I see a guy standing there and I know he's going to ask me for something. I'm like, oh, I should go to another store or something. I know it's bad. I'm okay with it. Doesn't happen all the time, but it happened that time. And right as I'm getting out my car, he's like literally at the microphone as I open my door. A gentleman comes out the store. He says, hey, man, can I go in there and get you something? Wow. And, you know, I felt how I felt, but that's not the point. I go in, I come out, I told the guy in the corner, I'm like, wow, that was extremely kind. And I get in my car and I was like, I'm going to go tell the gentleman that was actually kind. The one that asked him, can I get you something? How remarkable that is to me. So I pull around to the gas pump. And I'm like, dude, that's amazing. I don't know if I've ever seen that before in my life. I'm inspired. I don't know if I can live up to it sometimes. He said, yeah, you know, it's just what we do. My whole family does it. He had a message. He had premeditated, him and his whole family, what to do in a situation when he was encountered by it. It's not always the message I have. But the point is that if we're going to get to the finish line of all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, we have to have a message. It's really kind of simple. We sang it just a moment ago. And if you've ever said by faith in your heart, Jesus is my Savior, you've heard the message, and it's pretty simple, right? It's pretty simple. It says, we were made perfect to be in one with God and each other. It's important. We messed it up. It got demolished because we chose sin. And God said, no, that's not good enough. I'm going to fix it. So he sent his perfect son to die, to take the payment for our sin so we can be right with God and people forever in heaven. It's really simple. I can even make it simpler than that, right? It's just a really simple message. Say this with me. Say, we were perfect. I'm going to say, we messed it up. I'm going to say, we made it right. God made it right. See, that's easy. It's like we just passed another hurdle. Like we all have that message. We all have our personal story. We all know what it means to get to salvation through faith in Christ. And so my question for you is, do you have a message? We all have a message. That's the easy part. That's hurdle number two. We're like halfway there, right? Halfway through the race, I had realized, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Right? I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to do this, which brings me to the home stretch. It starts getting a little harder from here. How can they believe in him whom they have never heard? It's hurdle number three, auditory. It's like I was looking for a word that worked with A. I was grasping for an A word, and I Googled it, and I'm like, that's right. It's inspired by Paul's words in the scriptures. It's kind of an odd word to use, like audible, oral, having to do with hearing, right? That you have to say it, basically. This message, right, we're going, we've got a message. You have to say it. So I used to say in my younger, a little bit more immature years that I was going to be like Saint Francis of Assisi. And I would go everywhere and preach the gospel, but only use words if I had to. And I think that's a beautiful picture for what Christian life should look like, but it's not going to get us past that hurdle. We're not getting over that hurdle that way. You have to say it. We're going. We have a message that they can receive. We have to say it. And so Acts 1:8 says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. To be my witnesses. And so we start talking about this empowerment of the Spirit. This is what it's for, right? That's what it's for. It's going to help us open our mouth. It's also going to help us with the message part. to give us the right words in that moment. We still have to have the message. We can't just go out into the street corner because we're looking for someone and go, I think, no, it's not how it works. We have the message. He helps us with the words, right? This Rich says to me, you know, the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts 2, and they start speaking in other languages and tongues, and it's odd, and it's, you know, it's hard to grasp mentally, but it's just a picture. I'm going to help you open your mouth, right? I'm going to help you open your mouth because you have to go, you have to have a message, but you have to say it. Look at your neighbor. Can you say hi? Say hi. See, I told you we're going to do this all morning long. But it's just so I can prove to you that that was a hurdle that you just overcome. You can speak, right? Right? Look at your neighbor and say, he's nuts. I forgot to mention. Oh, I won't. Don't do it. So, another hurdle down, right? That's three. We're like cruising to the finish line. Let me tell you, I was going on the 9th mile of the Cowtown Marathon, half marathon. I don't have what it takes for a full, maybe. I never tried. And you're going uphill to the Trinity River Bridge. I'm telling you, that's not the home stretch. That's where it gets hard. So going is easy, right? You're at the beginning, like, got some Rage Against the Machine in your ears, running, laughing at your sister. Going up that bridge, that's a little more difficult. So our next hurdle, and I'm just gonna leave it here. It's the hardest one. It's like it takes some that grasp on determination. How will they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? It's just S, salvation. It's kind of like I've done my part, but I got to keep doing my part. But it's not really my part anymore, but I still got to keep doing my part. And so, you know, I've heard so many different stories about people that go out in a group and they tell someone about Jesus and that, bam, right then they called upon the name of the Lord and was saved. And I'm like, yeah, that was like a 5K. That wasn't no half marathon. My stepdad would go out and do this. And I know numerous people, but that's not always how it works. This is the hardest hurdle. It's that child, your son or daughter, you've been praying years. It's my father. It's that coworker. It's that knucklehead. Doesn't always happen immediately. And that's where this is where you really got to get a grasp on the determination part. I was asking people to help me with stories. And so I asked someone last week for a story and I was like, that's not exactly the question I asked, but I love that story and I'm going to use it. I was looking for a different story. I was trying to be specific, but the Lord had better plans for me. And they said, I had a patient for years and I would talk to them about Jesus and they would hear it only so far and say, I've had enough. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. Right. They were going to work. They were with a message. They were saying it. And then this last hurdle, right, was a little bit harder. Ongoing years and years and years. And this person said to me, I got a phone call. And they said, I'm ready to hear that Jesus. The patient was in hospice. I'm ready to hear that Jesus. And then got a phone call the next day. And that person had gone to be with the Jesus they met the day before. But all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, right? That's why this is the hardest hurdle, because sometimes you got to keep doing these. It's like, I just jumped that hurdle. I just jumped that hurdle. I just jumped that, and I got to do them all over again and keep going. Determinated, right? It's not even a word. Determined. Determined. Because all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's the finish line, right? That's the celebration. People. It comes after hurdle 4. It's the finish line. People. in heaven, people made right with God, people amongst us living in community, trying to figure out this thing that's called the likeness and image of God. People. It's the finish line. Now, you know, I think about sometimes what it looks like in heaven. I don't know. You know, I know what the scripture says, and sometimes you, especially in Revelation, you got to be careful. But I think about it and I'm like, this is the moment of impact where winning this half marathon comes into play. Right. But it's not just then. Okay. So even if you think that the ding, 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 we have a winner, Bob, only includes eternal existence in the grandeur of who God created you to be. It's also here. Look around you. Right. This is good. There's people, right? So while we also look to the end result, we practice that today. We get to see a little bit of it, right? A little bit of it. And so I sit sometimes and I think, the scripture calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so it's like a wedding feast, right? And I'm thinking feast. So when I'm hungry, I think about my favorite foods that I hope are there, but that's only when I'm hungry. And I look around me, this mental picture. I would invite you to do this with me even this morning. And I look and I'm at the table because it's a feast. And I look around that table and I see my kids. I see my dad. I see people I've never even met. I see that guy on the train. He don't look jacked up no more. He's beautiful. And I see kids that run around this community. See some people with me. Because that's the finish line. I mean, we don't have to wait till then to experience that joy. I just did just now. But all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we get to help with that. So why wouldn't we sit at a table where the Lord gives us rewards for our life and look across the table at people that we shared this existence with going towards that existence? Who do you see? So my question is, are there people? Do you know people that you want to see there? That you want to see here? Now, act like Marco on the camera. Zoom out from that table. Zoom out. Back up. And now look at the Bethel section. Did you see that? That was igniting change right there. Right? Few to many. Zoom out. Who's there? If I, 1, 2, 3 people there with me? 3? What about 5? What about 10? Now, personally, this is just me. I want more than 3. Because I got 4 kids. I want more than 3. That's me. But that's why we say igniting change here at Bethel, because this message that we're going, right? We all said we're going, right? But I don't need this, no show of hands. We all have a message, right? We've heard it. And those of us that have a claim to be followers of Christ, we must have heard it because we chose to believe it by faith. And so even this morning, if you can't say that I've heard it, I told you. You get to choose to believe by faith. We said it. We know how to talk, right? The last one, you know, it's like, do you have determination? That one's a hard one. But the end result is this. And when I zoom out, I think like my camera lens isn't good enough and I can't zoom out enough to catch the all the successions of what eternity really looks like, because there's people, right? Because all who call upon the name of the Lord be saved. There's a lot of people. I was in like the 93rd annual running of the marathon. It wasn't the first time that it happened. It wasn't even the first time I had done it. Right? This has been going on forever, but it's not about what's been going on before us. It's about what's going on with us tomorrow. Right? Are we going to go get in the starting corral first thing in the morning as we're going to work or going to the grocery store, going wherever? It's who we are. We don't even have hurdles. Man, that was a lot easier. I probably wasn't even in mile 3 of my marathon at this point on a Sunday morning many years ago. Father, I thank you that first of all, there is a message that somebody came and told us so we could believe it and be saved. But I also thank you that we're able to be that and replicate that into the world around us. And I pray for your Spirit to empower us, because just the knowledge of these things and knowing that we can get over these hurdles doesn't help us unless your Spirit kicks us off the starting line to get moving. And so this morning, no matter what it is that makes us think that we're not adequate, because this isn't religious, this isn't get right and then self-righteously preach grasp. This is go with a message to be received that's spoken in an audible fashion so people can believe into salvation. And I just pray for your help, because you're going to put me in a situation tomorrow, much like when I was on that train. And I know that you'll do that for everyone in this room. So give us your help to do that, because you said you would be with us until the end of age as we go do this thing called grasp. In Jesus' name, amen.